God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. The further I dig into the faith, the longer time I spend having been discipled, and the more I look at myself in comparison to Jesus, and there is no comparison, the more I am haunted by certain passages in the Bible. One of them in particular I've spoken about a bit is when Jesus reminds people, or says to people, who say, didn't we cast out demons in your name and perform miracles? And the Lord says, go away from me, evildoers, I never knew you. And I should have looked up the scripture and verse in that. I'm okay at remembering the scripture, but not always the scripture and verse. And the show is not about me. It should never be. It's one person's experience as a disciple, therefore a disciple's view. And I know what I'm about to share with us in this audience group. I know there's going to be people who are frustrated by this. That's not my intent. It's just to share with you an honest response I had. We're just recording videos. I do so much work these days that ends up on YouTube, and praise God, that's working for us to a degree. And we're newcomers to YouTube. Only in the past 6 months have we begun investing, and YouTube apparently wants me to be the Christian response guy. And praise God, they're rewarding that. But having put up this video, we're just recording a video, and we had Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, announcing this Christian task force. And I need to warn you that there's going to be people in a radio family who are going to be deeply frustrated with what I'm about to say about that event. Let's start with, it's needed. There is a clear and evident anti-Christian bias that has metastasized into government, and some of it isn't even, it isn't even guessing that it's there. It's not even a guess. It's there. And we can do this in many, many ways. Let's start with our military being warned that Christians who also have an affection for the Constitution are quite likely to be domestic extremists here to destroy the country. That's anti-Christian bias. And then some. There's the labeling of traditional Catholics, that is, Catholics. I'm not Catholic, but my understanding of the catechisms of the church are that you can excommunicate yourself. You continue to preach on behalf of abortion and same-sex unions and adultery and fornication, and all this is okay because Jesus just was confused. He was ancient, an ancient man of his time, plus he was white adjacent, that you can excommunicate yourself. So when they say traditional Catholics, they mean Catholics who are seeking God's word, seeking to abide, making Jesus first and foremost in all things. They also bear all the hallmarks of domestic terrorism, and they should be spied on. And they were. The people who ran Joe Biden spied on them. There's the insistence that everybody celebrates Pride Day. And if removed from that, the sexual sin, which is sexual sin like adultery, like fornication, that opposite sex people suffer from and engage in and sometimes celebrate. But there's no fornication flag. There's no adultery flag. And Christians are told, you'll celebrate this. And there's been HR meetings, human resources meetings. Hey, we noticed you didn't come to the Pride event. No, I didn't. Well, your team noticed. You're a person, people leader. You have people to report to you. You need to come to the Pride events. Oh, I've had discussions with people about this. I've been told I have to go to the Pride event. What do? You quit. I can't quit. Okay. You really think I should quit? Yes. Because your conscience, the Holy Spirit, is telling you, you can't celebrate this. Well, I have friends who are same-sex attracted. So do I. Of course. Of course. My father committed adultery. My own dad. I loved him. Still do. He died too young. But I couldn't sponsor it. And when we start making tiny compromises in life, you'll end up in some big, big compromise positions, and you'll hurt people. You'll hurt people you love. So when people are told, well, you have to come to Pride Day because your team is there, that's anti-Christian bias. And by the way, I had a friend who did that, was a person manager at a big tech company, and he gave in. He went to Pride Day, and next year it was, we need you to wear the Pride t-shirt. What? We need you to wear a rainbow Pride t-shirt. He quit. So that bias exists in government. It exists out of government. It exists in academia. We know these things. And so Pam Bondi, and I didn't have time to pull this audio. I just saw it. We just recorded a video on it, and perhaps I'll run this later in the week, and you can hear the audio. The video, if it survives our team looking at it to make sure it's YouTube safe, will go up on YouTube in the next day or two. That's youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. But both my producer of my podcast, Alex, and I laughed painfully during the announcement. Full disclosure, I did not want Pam Bondi as AG. I do not think she's a strong woman. I think she seeks to be served. I don't think she seeks to serve. I think the fruits of her work indicate that her focus is getting a full-time gig on Fox News. I haven't seen the full Epstein document dump. I don't think she wants to put that out. I haven't seen her go sue these states that are in obvious violation of the president's executive orders on the topic of gender. Yes, she's gone after one sort of ornamentally. I haven't seen her take what the AG could do to separate countries like Washington that stand in direct violation of federal immigration laws, federal drug laws. California and Washington state are in open violation of federal drug laws, allowing the open selling of fentanyl and the selling of human bodies openly. Everybody knows it. There's not a cop in Seattle who can't take you to where you can buy a teenager. She's done nothing. She's on Fox News a bunch. I know the president has trust in her. He says she's a strong woman. So I watched the announcement of the Anti-Christian Bias Task Force. And Pam Bondi had a white binder and notes, and she was reading from that in a bored, dispassionate tone of a woman who appeared to be spot reading. It's a media phrase, a hot take, a hot read. Someone slaps copy down in front of you, you haven't had a chance to review it, so you're doing your best job to read it and make it sound interesting, but I didn't see Pam Bondi making it sound the least bit interesting because I don't know that Pam Bondi's interested in it. I think that Pam Bondi has had a continuous tough news cycle, self-inflicted. She's not having success in defending the president's agenda against these rogue judges. I see no organized effort on her behalf to take these things all the way to the Supreme Court, to force John Roberts to actually go ahead and start the constitutional crisis John Roberts is cozying up with, or to defeat him. And then it occurred to us as we were watching this that Alex and I started laughing. It was maybe 40 seconds in to Pam Bondi beginning to read in a bored sense from her binder that the coffee service came. The coffee service. Behind her, a guy walks up with a silver coffee, not thermos, but container. What's the thing with the spigot on it? It's like a pouring tea and it's coffee into an ornate coffee cup, White House branded. While she's starting her statement, the great lady needed to have more coffee. Oh, and then they brought the cream and the settings and the sugar into the camera frame. And Alex and I were laughing, going, wow, how passionate, how insistent, how urgent. What a sense of urgency we see from Pam Bondi. You will know them by their fruits. There are Christians in prison because they prayed at abortion clinics, and this is a sense of urgency. This is not something you need to read from a binder. At one point, she produced a purple pen, a ballpoint pen, to apparently spot edit what she was spot reading. And I know you could say you're nitpicking. Oh, it's not just the presentation. It's not just the coffee. It's not just the purple pen and the spot editing. It's the lack of real action. We don't need a task force. Banning Christians from serving in government schools is a violation of civil rights. Forcing Christians to shut their business down because they cannot attend a religious service that violates their own faith is a violation of civil rights, and everybody who did that should be sued by the DOJ. That doesn't take a task force. A task force is a delay measure. She's the head of the Department of Justice, not the head of stomping out bias. I was trying to figure out, why does this bother me so much? Why were Alex and I laughing out of discomfort and astonishment that, wait, we're to take this seriously? And then it hit me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. To the church in Laodicea, the Apostle John, writing what he was told to convey after he was given a glimpse of the end times. He's quoting here the Lord Jesus. The angel told him to write this, but obviously on behalf of Jesus, all things lead to Jesus. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor or cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. It's the neither hot nor cold part. I actually and for real am bowing my head to pray that Pam Bondi didn't just do an act to try to bring focus off of a tough news cycle for herself. I firmly and for real, with my head bowed, pray that Pam Bondi wasn't doing performative Christianity in order to have herself seen in a better light, to have a better focus on her. I truly and for real pray that she doesn't think she can get away with using the name of the Savior of mankind, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, to aid her in getting some respect back from the Trump base, many of whom who see her like I do, which is on Fox News and nowhere else. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View, and we will continue with a good, good challenge from a listener named Richard. That next. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and if you missed the last segment, a lot of commentary and pretty robust criticism of Pam Bondi, as well as a prayer. I have a real fear that her anti-Christian bias thing is performative, meant to take attention off of her, I think, utter failure as AG. Sorry. And I failed to say that I know that's going to upset people. So if you want the management of AFR to see your comments on that, it's comments at AFR.net. That's the email, comments at AFR.net. If you want to send it directly to me, just go to my website, thetoddhermanshow.com, and we'll share that. We do read these things on the air, particularly emails that take us to task. I don't do that enough. So we'll get next segment to the Tower Babbling. We'll get to a personal note. This segment... Another fake pastor, or as my friends at Protestia say, an impastor, has determined that Jesus Christ, when he rode the donkey and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he was being a drag queen. For real. That's what she says and tries to defend. So we'll get to that. Let me start here. A great, great note, I think written out of love, and from Richard. He wrote to me, and this was about Friday's best of. It was a travel. No, it wasn't. We were off for a Good Friday, and Randy chose a best of to run. And Richard writes, "Hello, Todd. I'm writing about your Friday show, A Disciple's View on AFR. You talked about federal funds given to organizations such as Lutheran Social Services of the Southwest, Lutheran Social Services Florida, and National Church Residents, as mentioned by Senator Mike Lee. I'd like you to know that these organizations are not churches. Lutheran Social Services provides refugee resettlement to hundreds of refugees who have fled prosecution, war, famine, and other harsh conditions in their home countries. These are not illegal immigrants. Instead, they're fully vetted by the U.S. State Department before coming into the U.S. They're given a refugee visa by the U.S. State Department, which allows them to legally live in the U.S. Many of these refugees are Christians, for example, from the Democratic Republic of Congo. National Church Residents, on the other hand, is an organization that provides affordable housing to seniors. Therefore, I encourage you to fact-check your sources before making false statements in the air. Regards, Richard." And I thought it was a very quick, pithy, to the point, civil, not overly friendly, civil. And it's a brother holding a brother to account. My assumption was that Richard is a Christian man listening to AFR. And so I did send him a personal response. And I want to respond here now, just so you hear. So the context of this segment was about what Doge had surfaced in the fact that our government has forced you to give your tax money to fake Christian organizations. I'll get to these specific groups in a second. What we uncovered, what Doge uncovered, and what we reported, what Senator Mike Lee pointed to, was that insanely leftist, fake Christian churches that are putting people's souls at risk were sometimes getting 100% of their funding from the government. Well, let me strike and replace that, from you. You were being forced to underwrite heretics, and purposeful heretics in my mind. They know what they're doing. They're going to present a fake Jesus for political reasons, and I think many of them for spiritual reasons. In that list of organizations, in fact, were some of these organizations that Richard was kind enough to mention. And I went back and listened to that segment, and I did say some of these groups are not churches, but immigration organizations. And they bring people into the country. Now, I didn't know that the National Residences, on the other hand, provides affordable housing to seniors. I didn't know that. I stand corrected. I thank Richard for that. I stand corrected. He knows what he's talking about because he's in this business, and we'll get to that in a second. What I said, though, was, okay, the challenge is on the bigger picture. That phrase, Satan masquerades as an angel of light, that's exactly what he does. He is so good at taking a good thing and making it a bad thing. And he doesn't do it poof, all of a sudden. He does it bit by bit by bit. Man, I am so busy. I'm going to do online church today. And I know there's people who can't go to church. They're homebound. Online church is a blessing to them. I know that. But by example, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. I'm just going to save the hour drive. I'll do online church, and I'll do that today because I'm so busy. And then next weekend, you know what? Just one more weekend. And that can become, wow, this is great. Man, I mean, this is, and I get more time with the family. Hey, this is great. And we get more time at home, and I'm more rested. And then online church, as you're watching it, and then, man, you know what? I could use some coffee. I'll turn up the volume, and I'll go get some coffee. And oh, but I'm listening, and then I could, you know what? I'll just cook some breakfast. And next thing you know, kind of church is background noise, and then it's, you know, I've heard that song before. I'm going to listen afterwards. I'm not going to watch live anymore because, hey, I'm not there to take communion, and plus, I'm not really involved in it, so the Lord wouldn't like that. My mind's not in it, and then, I'll watch the sermon. And suddenly there's Satan saying, yeah, how's that church going? Great. Bit by bit by bit by degree by degree by degree. This is what they did with immigration. This is exactly what Satan did. There are people who legitimately are going to be murdered in their homeland if they don't get to come here. Take, for instance, some of the Afghan refugees that we should have brought home after the people who ran Joe Biden decided to give the Taliban hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of world-class gear, military gear, not to mention the identities of our soldiers, their facial ID, their backgrounds, their coordinates, the IDs of the Afghans who helped us, because they gave them that. So we were to bring home people who legitimately helped our forces in Afghanistan so that they were not murdered by the Taliban. Instead, they flooded the airplane with a whole bunch of people, indiscriminate, not making any effort to make sure it was the Afghans who helped us. They flew them into the country indiscriminately, gave them all temporary status as refugees, and now that temporary status has expired, and the whole group of them is subject to deportation. It should have been a targeted number of people who were helping us. That was our responsibility. That's not what they did. Because Satan had convinced them, hey, look, you're doing a good thing. Oh, okay, so you're lying about the Electoral College, and you're lying about overturning government. And yes, you're handing these people $3,500 a month when the average Social Security recipient gets $1,200, but equity. And then the cartels look at this. And the cartels are business people. The people who run the cartels, you ask them what they are. They're business people. They're in a tough business, so yeah, they kill people sometimes because it's a tough business. But they look at and say, wait, hold on. A cartel board meeting, why are we spending our money on coyotes to get our operatives into the United States when the United States will fly our operatives in? Why are we wasting our time with this? That's the CPB One app. And so people were granted refugee status very, very quickly without review. That hasn't always been the case. So the point of that segment I did was, number one, were being forced to fund fake Christian churches. You were being forced to underwrite heretics. You were being forced to publish and promote fakery of God's word. And these groups that are immigration focused, many of them probably believe they're still doing the right thing, were, yes, helping some people who legitimately needed the help. And hidden among them, MS-13, Trent de Arga, other gangs, cartel operatives here in America to push fentanyl and heroin, etc., and that always ends up in sex trafficking because it's a better business for these business people, because that's what the cartel bosses will tell you. We're business people. So my point about the segment was how Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So I responded, and Richard wrote back to me very kindly, very kindly. I love his notes. I love his response. Hello, Todd. Thank you very much for responding to my note. I appreciate your gracious reply and your elaboration of your position on the immigration issue. I certainly agree that immigration has been a serious problem, and the Biden administration did little to strengthen our porous border and go after the worst of the illegal immigrants already here. I'd like to add that immigrants and refugees are two different classes of people who enter our country. Refugees are people who have lived in a refugee camp, some for up to 25 years, and are approved by the U.S. to enter the country. The Biden administration's refugee ceiling in fiscal year 25 was 125,000 refugees. Following is a link that shows the refugee resettlement ceiling for the past 45 years. As you can see, it dropped to an historic low during the first Trump administration. The U.S. And that he provides these links. I work for a refugee resettlement agency. It's not faith-based. Through my work with refugee families, I've heard about some of the hardships they've faced in their home countries and refugee camps. They want to work hard, provide for their families, have a fruitful life in the U.S. Due to the pause in the U.S. refugee admission program, our resettlement department has closed. We can no longer serve families that arrived before Trump took office. Thanks, Todd, for allowing me to share my thoughts and some information. Your brother in Christ, Richard. And Richard, I'm sure that within the group of people you serve, there are people who legitimately fled what would have been their murder, their end, the end of their lives, of their kids, the enslavement of their kids, physical and spiritual. And it has to break your heart to not be able to help them anymore. And this is the result of the angel of light, the angel of the air masquerading as an angel of light. This is the result of Satan taking a good America has done and turning it towards evil. And when we have a smaller number of refugees and it's manageable, I want our country to become once again a place for people, but not in the wholesale flooding of our country that was in fact, an invasion with political design. I mentioned these heretical churches, and that was the genesis of that entire segment Richard critiqued. But I mentioned the fake churches you were forced to fund. Sometimes 100% of their budget came by force, taken from you by men who have the backup of guns and the ability to seize your home and your bank accounts so that it could be given to them to say things in the name of Christ that Jesus himself never said. So let me give you a for instance, and I'm not saying that this particular person got those monies. I would guess that this is not a very successful church. But this is what the people at Protestia call an impastor. And she is one of these people who has no interest in what Jesus actually did. This fake pastor insists that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey was actually a drag show.
Jesus's triumphant drag queen entry into Jerusalem is doomed because Jesus is the Lion of Judah, and Jesus in this moment is doing a drag show. Not to like quote myself, but I do talk about this in my book, and I have a chapter called A Drag Queen Messiah that I want to read from. Drag is a performance art form that takes the bizarre and the banal to an extreme, holding up a mirror to our lives so we can find humor and release in the silliness of being alive. Drag queens use bold makeup and exaggerated dance moves to illumine the ludicrous beauty standards and at the same time uplift what is beautiful in the mundane reality of life. Drag is an art form that is rooted in protest, in unraveling gender roles, and in unspooling militaristic masculinity through femininity. We do this day, this Palm Sunday, a disservice. We do Holy Week a disservice when we see this as doomed. When we see that Jesus's triumphant drag queen entry into Jerusalem is doomed. Yes, he's going to be killed. That's real. But he's also not going to stay dead.
Does that sound to you like a genuine view of Jesus riding into Jerusalem? Or does that seem to you to be a brutally obvious effort to once again align Jesus Christ with men who dress as women and women who, by the way, are cartoonish and over-sexualized and made to be part porn star, part cartoon character, part little girl? I think it's the latter. There is, though, this effort, and this is what concerns me. I mean, who cares what some fake pastor says? mean, it's just her and it's her problem and it's against God alone she sins. But remember we began the program with we? We talked about the word we, our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Us. God spoke to the brothers in the first murder, Cain and Abel. Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. It's the people who sit in those pews being fed a counterfeit Jesus Christ. That's the people about whom I'm thinking. Because I would like them in our we, in our body of Christ, and they think they are. And what a brutal surprise they're going to get on Judgment Day when the Lord Jesus says, I never knew you. And what surprise are we going to have when Jesus says to us, did you go to them and say, that's not really me? Or did you think someone else would? We'll come back with the Tire Babbling and a personal note next. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're going to get a decision soon, hopefully, from the Supreme Court that would simply affirm the fact that parents have a right to say, yeah, my kid's not going to that class. The fact. Public school. The reason I call them government schools, they've stopped being public schools. And in this case, these courses are about sex. And not about it, but how to do it and to do it often and with as many people as you like. And it's not a mistake that this stuff is now taught in English classes and math classes. That's not a mistake. It's a tactic. It's a Planned Parenthood tactic. You can opt out of sex ed, but it's going to be in your sociology class. It's going to be in your history class. Because it's a drive to sexualize kids. Full stop. Why? Well, because it's a spiritual war. Many of these people don't know that. But those of us who have been given the responsibility of being watchmen at the tower, at the gate, we know it, and we need to warn others. CBS News is reporting, and some friends of mine who are in D.C., back there testifying, just one of my friends just sent me a text, and she said, I think the court's going to go our way. So I pray that Lord decides to use this court to his glory in this case. Although when it comes to John Roberts, I have no trust at all, or for that matter, some of the other justices. We'll get here to the Tower Babbling in just a second. Let me just get to this item. Sergeant Dakota Myers saved 36 Marines in Afghanistan in 2009. He's re-enlisting because he wants to be part of Pete Hegseth's military.
There hasn't been a single day since I got out 15 years ago that I didn't wake up and truly want to serve again and truly want to wear and put this uniform on again. And to be able to do that is such an awesome, awesome honor of mine. I didn't want to do it because of the rank. I didn't want to do it for recognition. I just did it because the mission never left me. I just think that once you're in the fight, like, that fight is just never going to leave you. I just love this country, and I love the people of America with every moral fiber of my being. And I believe in that with everything that I've got.
Well, praise God that he can go do what God's called him to do, to be a guard over us, over evil. And the Hegseth military. Quite a question to ask. Is he being targeted for removal because he's failing or because he's succeeding? Which one? And interestingly, when they talk about him using Signal to talk about an attack with his wife and personal lawyer and friend, and we heard once again classified information, and this according to anonymous sources, and wow, that story's gone away. Because it turned out the last time it was confidential information, it wasn't. It was sloppy to have an opinion writer who masquerades as a journalist, an opinion writer of the left, in those discussions, really sloppy. I don't think Hegseth has the time to put together a Signal group. I think an admin did it. So quite a question to ask. Is he failing or is he succeeding? Succeeding would be what? Streamlining the Defense Department so that it can be once again a warfighting machine led by war fighters. My sole question to Hegseth is this. Why should I cheer a record high budget for the Department of Defense? $1 trillion? Why? If you're trimming down our efforts, we're no longer going to go out and seek to get into fights. We're not going to go out and start color revolutions in Ukraine and try to overthrow countries and cause coups. Why, Secretary Hegseth? Why should I celebrate that? Show me first that you've truly right-sized the Department of Defense. Truly. So that it no longer wastes money. Or maybe one day the Pentagon can pass an audit. Then we could talk about a budget increase. Until then, I don't back it. Sorry. I back you. Just not on that. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. But there's also a burger element to this.
It's the former mayor of New York making that statement. The communist former mayor of New York. Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling starting here. The United States Congressman and overseas senator has been very, very busy in another country trying to get a man who is a citizen of that country, El Salvador, brought back to our country. Van Hollen admits that Abrego Garcia is or was, cannot admit, pardon me, that Abrego Garcia is or ever was an MS-13.
Can you say with absolute certainty that he is not, nor has he ever been, a member of the MS-13 gang? And did you ask him point blank?
Asking that because I know what his answer is. What he told me was he was sad and traumatized that he was being in prison because he has committed no crimes. And that goes to the heart of this issue because he's being denied his due process rights. And Donald Trump is trying to change the subject.
Wait, did he answer the thing about if he's an MS-13? No. He committed no crimes. Well, yeah, I mean, other than sneaking into the country illegally, other than being told by immigration judge, A, you have to leave. And that immigration judge says, partly because you're MS-13, and then he didn't leave. And then the detention order, because he's an MS-13, another judge, and then he didn't leave. So he said no to two judges by... So certainly we can trust him to not be an MS-13, even though now it's DHS and others who said, well, it's not just the tattoos, it's his known associations. You have the president of El Salvador going, yeah, he's MS-13. So other than that, I think things are probably fine. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Amy Klobuchar claimed that Trump's team has singled out Abrego Garcia to distract from the economy.
They, yes. And my point is they have picked out this case and this man because it's about a subject that they want to keep in the news. So it's even more cynical than just flaunting the law. They're doing it because they want to distract people from the fact that our economy is in a tailspin thanks to them.
So they picked him. Okay. So they said, hey, let's get someone and let's let the Mockingbird media pretend he's a Maryland man. And that's no. No, Amy. And I don't think I'm the only one who looks at that and says, oh, silly goose. Have you ever done that to an adult? If you're in a heated argument with somebody, have you ever said, oh, silly goose? Sometimes they don't like that. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. In reference to Abrego Garcia, MSNBC's Simone Sanders Townsend claims the Trump administration will next target black Americans for deportation.
That is why this is so important, because if they could do it to them, if they could snatch students off the street without any pushback or recourse, they will do it to any of us. To be very clear, it's going to be the people of color and vulnerable communities that are next in line.
I'm sorry. I just broke all professional decorum. I broke all the rules. I done laughed responsively, not even stage show. Nope. That's not happening ever under Trump. And that there, that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I shared earlier the kind email exchange I had with Richard, a listener who wrote in to offer expertise and input on the topic of refugees and groups that help refugees. I lived next door to a family who had to buy their father out of Cuba twice. This woman's name, her name was Carmen. She was the next door neighbor, the wife of Gary. And she was right out of Cuba. Spoke some English, but would really slip into Spanish, particularly when she was upset. I always found Carmen fascinating as a young kid because I never knew anyone who would slip in and out of Spanish or had been to Cuba. She had an interesting addiction to, I think it was Pepsi. Fun lady. Gosh, she had a temper. Real temper. And one day, I got to meet her dad. And his real name was Pedro, as I recall. His nickname was Coco. I think I got that right. And I don't know why I was invited. Maybe we were just out together. They were kind enough to take me somewhere. And they decided to go by the hospital where Coco was staying, where he was getting better. And I got to meet this man. He spoke no English. He was just dreadfully skinny and unhealthy looking. And I got home and I was talking to my mom. I was a little kid about him. And she said, well, you know why he's so unhealthy? No. He's been in prison. Oh, wow. What did he do? She said, nothing. She told me about Fidel Castro and she told me about Cuba. And this is a thing etched in my mind that he didn't do anything? No. Why did they put him in prison? Because he stood against their policies. He spoke out against them. I said, but wait. Wait, you guys talk about our president and you disagree with him. Yes, but in America we can do that. In Cuba you can't do that. Where's places where you can go to prison? Because you disagree with a president? Yeah. He's lucky to be out. And he'd been a newspaper executive and media executive. And that's really the reason, of course, he was in prison, because it wasn't just him criticizing the Castros. It was his organizations. And Fidel Castro couldn't have that. So they imprisoned him. They took his media companies, his newspaper companies. They took everything. And his family in America put together some money and scraped it together and borrowed it from the Cuban community and worked hard for it. And I'm sure that Carmen's husband probably contributed to that and some of his railroad friends. And they bought him out of Cuba. But the first time, the Cubans found some other charges. Try again. They kept the money, but try again. So again, they went back and somehow put together more money and once again bought him out. And this time he actually got to come to America. Emaciated, abused, dehydrated, confused, having not spent a lot of time in any sunlight. He eventually got out of the hospital and would go over to their house. And one day we went shopping at the IGA. And again, I don't know why I was there, but I remember we got out of the car. We walked into the store, Carmen with her father, and I was with Michael, my friend, and I don't remember if his sisters were there. I know that Michael and I were there, or I wouldn't have been there. And I was walking around the store, and I'd had a little bit of money, and so I was putting together some things I wanted to buy, I'm sure candy or something horrible. And I went to find Carmen, Mike and I did, and she was in the cereal aisle. And she was standing there with Coco Pedro. And he said, which ones do I have to buy? I didn't understand this, but Mike spoke enough Cuban to say, my grandpa says, which one does he have to buy? And then Carmen explained, no, Dad, you can buy any of these. And Mike said, my mom says to grandpa, you can buy any of these. And he looked at her shocked. And he wept. He put his hands up to his face and he wept over cereal and the choice before him. The refugee experience is something we need to take seriously because we began the show by talking about the we in the body of Christ. He was a Christian man. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Give us this day our daily bread. So we must take seriously the us, and at the same time, we must call out when the prince of the air takes what's good, the American desire to help, and uses it for evil. That is to flood our country with people who don't mean us well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.